Amen. You may find your seats. As you are doing so, I want to welcome you this morning to Pine Grove Baptist Church. My name is Jared. I'm the pastor here at Pine Grove. It's a privilege to be worshiping with you. If you're a guest with us today, thank you for venturing out in this awkward and terrible weather. Baptists don't like rain, so you came. You must not be a Baptist. So that's a joke. Ha ha ha. On this Thanksgiving weekend, it's good to have you. If you're a guest with us, our only request of you and your family, stop by our guest service desk. It's in the church foyer. Jot down some information. We have a gift prepared for you and your family as you chose to worship with us today. Before you get terribly comfortable, I'm going to invite you to stand back to your feet and open your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles is in your Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. We have been in a series exploring this prayer of Jabez, and I'll explain more to you, particularly if you're coming in new today. But we find today the reading of God's Word. I'm reading from the New King James Translation. Your translation may be different. It may be electronic. It may not have a Bible at all. It's on the overhead behind us. But together, we stand and read God's Word. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Our focus this morning will be on the back end of verse 10, "Keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain," is our focus this morning. Before you sit down, will you just introduce yourself to your neighbor? Welcome to Pine Grove. If you don't know somebody, don't be an awkward turtle. Just say hi. Congratulations. After you have shaken some hands, you may return to your seat, please. Thank you for greeting those around you and being hospitable. Before we jump into the series, and I'll explain more in just a few moments, while your attention is still fresh, I want to just provide a few housekeeping matters to you and I this morning. If you participated last Sunday in our Friendsgiving, you stayed back and enjoyed just a Thanksgiving-style meal and fellowship, and in the back, I want to say thank you for bringing your food. I wanted to thank the fellowship team for their leadership and direction to organize and to plan. Thank you for your participation. It was fantastic to celebrate Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving with you. I pray your Thanksgiving was well this week. As we turn our attention to the upcoming events, I want to remind you, on the guest service area on the desk is our 2024 our budget proposal. It is for your review. Take a copy and look through that. We'll be voting as a church, if you're a church member, on December the 10th. All questions can go to the Finance Committee, and those names are listed. If you need further clarification, please contact the church office, but that is to your information out in the foyer. If you picked up a church calendar, you noticed that there was an event scheduled on December the 9th entitled Rooted or Flannel and Frost. That has been postponed this Christmas, and we'll pick back up in the coming months, January, February. It was a women's event, but that is not going to happen, so just make that correction in your calendar. And then lastly, I show you this QR code. We have we have been selected to host the Night to Shine event in February the 9th, 2024. Night to Shine is a ministry through the Tim Tebow Foundation that really ministers to those of the special needs. They're going to come into our church. We're going to provide a prom experience for them and all the fixings, the trimmings, and all that goes on. It's going to happen in February. We're really excited, but we are asking you, the church family, to step up and serve alongside of us. Every one of our guests requires a special buddy, a one-to-one ratio. So buddies are needed, but there are volunteer positions that are endless in this event. So the QR code before you says, hey, I'm going to scan this with my phone. If your phone's not working, you didn't bring it into the auditorium, you can go to our church website. On the banner says Night to Shine, and you can drop in your your registration form. We're asking you to volunteer and serve with us. Why are we having you do this in advance? The Tim Tebow Foundation requires every volunteer that participates in Night to Shine to have a background screening. So regardless if you're whoever, we all have to do this. That's where this starts. We pay the background screening for you, but you step up and you volunteer your time and your energy. Please do that and get this rolling with us. That are the announcements for us. Take your time to do that, but we turn our attention back to our sermon series, Why Not Me? It is a study of the prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. If you ever read through the book of Chronicles, it's a fascinating read. It's just name after name and name after name. And then in chapter 4, verse 9, it's almost as if the writer clears his throat, sits up in his chair, and says, this specific man, this man named Jabez, had a very troubled past. In fact, his mama named him Pain and Sorrow. I don't know why that went down, but he was tagged to be a difficult dude growing up. But he prays in verse 10 three specific requests of God, and we find at the end of verse 10 that God grants him this request. I was reading 1 Chronicles, as you were, with the one-year study Bible in July, and I read this passage, and I wrote it down in a note card, and I began to pray it and meditate and think about it. And this question kept racing across my mind. If God would do this for Jabez, an unknown figure really outside of this only text, if God would do it for Jabez, then why can't God do it for me? If God can do it for Jabez, why can't God do it for you? If God can do it for Jabez, why can't God do it for Pine Grove Baptist Church? Now, I remind you, you're not Jabez and I'm not Jabez, but the God of Jabez is the same God you call upon today. So if God could do it for Jabez, then I was just foolish enough to ask, why can't you do it for us? So that's been this series the last several weeks, looking and exploring the prayer of Jabez. We looked at blessing, we looked at increased territory or influence, and today we focus on this third portion, the protection of evil that may not cause pain. And I want to remind you just one more time for those that are new with us, Jabez was an ordinary dude. Like, I know that may not be grammatically, or, you know, he was nothing special. He wasn't a king or a prophet or a priest. He wasn't a victorious warrior. He wasn't one of the judges. He wasn't even attached to someone that was famous, popular, or successful. Jabez was an ordinary man who prayed a simple prayer, which God heard and God answered. And if God can do it for Jabez, then why can't God do it for us? One more time, I want to read to you verse Chapter 4, verse 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, and we'll focus on that third portion of the prayer. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. He's praying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And God granted him what he requested. I want to read a quote to you from Pastor James Merritt as we start the portion of the preaching of the text. Dr. Merritt writes, Jabez knew that the more you do for God and the more God does through you, the more you are being set up for the devil to tempt you, trip you, and trap you. And that may not drive you to say amen and clap holy hands and through the emoji with your praise hands, but I want you to be aware that the further you go with God, the more serious and intentional you become about following in obedience and living in a righteous light, saying yes to godliness, Satan is not going to like the fact that you're living for Jesus boldly and proudly. I just say that to you up front. If you don't believe in Satan, well, you're foolish. That's what the book of James tells us. Satan is real. Satan loves nothing more than to trap, to destroy, and to kill the believer of Jesus Christ, not because of you, but because who you are associated with. Jesus is Satan's foe. I say this to you just as a fair understanding. As you get more serious in praying the matters of blessing and increased favor and territory, asking God to keep you from pain and evil, Satan's not going to like that. But you make a wise decision and you move forward. As we go back to the text, I want to present to you two understandings, if you will, As you pray this prayer to be kept from evil, keep two things in your mind, two understandings as you pray and you begin to actively pursue this prayer that Jabez demonstrated for us. The first understanding that I want you to make note of is that you need protection from evil. You and I, we need protection from evil. We just read the text. We'll read it one more time. Again, Jabez called on the name called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil." There's our statement, that I may not cause pain. And God granted him his request. As you take seriously and begin praying and meditating and living through this prayer of Jabez, understand you need protection from evil. As you go back into your text and you circle the word evil, in the Hebrew understanding, it means wickedness or distress, misery or injury. Keep me from wickedness. Keep me from misery or injury. Other English translations say, keep me from harm, or keep me from trouble. I read this story, not a story, but a little anecdote of a man trying to find a parking spot. I imagine he's on the University of Florida campus. It's the first day of class. He's late for class. He cannot find a parking spot, or he's trying to find a parking spot in the garages at Shands, and that's like the third level of HELL, and he's just circling and circling, and he cannot find a parking spot. 20 minutes later, he's like, I'm going to park in this area that says, do not park, restricted area, and he leaves a note on his windshield, and the note says, I've circled the block for 20 minutes. I'm late for an appointment. If I don't park here, I will lose my job. Then he tagged, forgive us of our trespasses. Kind of a spiritual thing, right? Just a little tag. Well, the security guard, whatever that person that monitors, he too was circling the parking lot, and he saw the man illegally parked. When the gentleman returns from his appointment and gets into his car, he sees the ticket and the note, to which the cop mall guy says, I've circled the block for 20 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I will lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. A little bit of church humor for you. When you read the word evil, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, it could be implied, lead me not into temptation, which Jabez prays to God. God, do not lead me into temptation. Let me clarify for you. God tempts no man. The struggles you're facing, that's not of God. That's of your flesh, derived from the evilness and sinfulness of a fallen humanity. God tempts no man, but note this, every man and woman is tempted. Opportunities to sin seem to be endless. No? Okay, well, maybe that's just for my life. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort to find yourself in a place that you should not be doing, knowing it's wrong, but man, I'm going to do it anyways. The opportunities to sin are sinless. The sobering truth is that in each of us, there are weaknesses and areas that we are specifically vulnerable. Respectfully, I don't really care who you are, where you're from, the status of life that you live, every one of us has one or multiple areas in our life that we are specifically vulnerable as a temptation in each of our lives. It might look different to different things. It might be alcohol. It might be pills. It might be a line of coke. It might be pornography. It might be a Twinkie or a tongue that kills. I don't know what your vice is. But assuredly, as if it's in my life, I know it's in your life, there are things that cause us to be vulnerable and can take us out. Temptation. And you might be sitting here thinking, you know, that's not me. Respectfully, young man, I got these things whipped. You're a liar. Respectfully. And we're welcome you to Pine Grove Baptist Church. Because there's things, and it might be dormant. You might be in sobriety for months or even years, and it doesn't take but just one thought, and your feet are chasing something that you know you know you should not be doing. We need the protection. We need a covering from evil and temptation. As Jabez prays, you need a protection from evil, temptation, misery, and injury. That's just an understanding as you pray this. I want to provide to you a caveat before we go into the next point, that life is filled with pain. Life is hard. There's a myth. There's a lie that is propagated in the modern Christian church. And it goes something like this. The closer you are to God, the less pain you experience in life. Insert hashtag, you're crazy. That's not true. Just because you're walking with God and you're in the will of God, you're following obedience and righteousness and godliness, you're not immune to the pain and the struggles and the hurts of life. So don't get tripped up, my brother and my sister, when you find yourself doing well and then something out of nowhere wipes out your feet and you sit in the dirt and you say, man, what's going on? And you should just say to yourself, life is going on. Your relationship with God doesn't immune or cover or prevent, but that relationship with God helps you to walk through those pains and those hardships and those times of trial. I was watching recently, and don't judge me for this, but Sylvester Stallone, you know the guy that did Rocky and Rambo, the dude in the 80s? He just doesn't seem to age. He did a documentary on Netflix called Sly. You do what you want with it. You might watch it and be like, Pastor Jared, watch this. Oh my gosh. I don't know. Whatever you do. But he has a statement in the documentary that I thought was really profound for this man, Rocky Balboa. He says, life is an addition up to age 40. Then it becomes subtraction on the other side of 40. Think about that. And I don't know, 40 is a sliding, it might be 50, but you build and you graduate and you get married and you have babies and life is growing. And there comes a point, that inflection point, that it becomes, well, my kids and I are graduating and they're getting married and they've left our home. I'm approaching retirement and all my identity has been in this career that I'm fixing to say goodbye to. I have a divorce. My spouse has died. Whatever it may be, there are increments that happen after 40 or 50 that begins to subtract from you. Oh, Sly, you philosopher. So true. Life is addition before and subtraction later in life. Don't lose heart when you begin to walk in the pains and the struggles of life. They will be real and they will be hard, but as a relationship with Jesus Christ, they do not have to define you. You can move through them through the power of God. Understanding number one, as you pray the prayer of Jabez, and specifically this prayer from evil, understand this, that we need protection from evil. But Jabez has a part two to this third part of his prayer, and it leads us to understanding number two. You need discipline not to promote evil. One more time, verse 10, and you'll have this thing memorized before we leave. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil. But notice the comma, that I may not cause pain or evil. Jabez recognizes that he doesn't want to be a source of pain or evil. Again, the evil in the Hebrew, wickedness, misery, or injury to someone else. I remind you, as I said in the opening, that for whatever reason, Jabez's mama names him painful or sorrow. I don't know what kind of birth experience. I don't know what the circumstances were in her life when young Jabez was born. Maybe she was a single mother. Maybe the dad died. Maybe they were facing financial woes, and one more mouth caused her just an overwhelming sense of anxiety and panic. For whatever reason, she names Jabez painful and sorrow, almost like a foreshadowing or a vision that will be proclaimed over this young man's life. The days ahead for you, bro, are going to be hard because you're painful and you are full of sorrow. Pastor Joey Rogers writes this. God, it could be interpreted that Jabez is saying this like this: God, help me not to live up to my name, but to be your name. Set me free from the shackles of my past that I may be released for greater things. In other words, God, don't allow this banner that's been set over my life to be painful and sorrow. Let that not be my reality. Help me to walk in a different light. Don't let me be a source of pain and evil to others. Which I ask myself this: what does it look like in today's time to be a source of evil and pain in someone's life? Because the reality is, you have grown beyond the club fights. You're no longer crashing beer bottles in a bar and having fights when you were in your 20s, 30s, maybe some of you are in your 40s and still doing that. The playground hustles at the back of the sandbox are probably over. We're not really causing physical harm to people. I say most of us are not. If that is you, we welcome you to Pine Grove Baptist Church. Jesus Christ can free you of all your craziness. So we know it's really not a physical pain, it's not a physical injury that most of us are going to incur or give to somebody else. So then what could it be? The question is, how are we the source of pain for someone else? And here's my response. Our words are the most common source of pain for others today. And the people of God said, oh me. It's that instrument in your mouth, that tongue, that is so, so destructive. Let me give you a verse out of Proverbs, a book of wisdom, where Solomon writes, I'm reading from the Message translation, Eugene Peterson's interpretation. Words kill, words give life. Your words are either a poison or a fruit. You choose your words. What a daily practice of reminding ourselves that our words are exceptionally powerful. Our words are a source of pain for others. And it's not just the everyday words, it's the careless remarks. When you're getting frustrated and your patience is waning and you slip out and you say something cutting and biting. And I'm finding in my life that those careless words are often said to the ones that I love the most. You don't got to raise your hand. We're in the same boat. Hashtag sinners. It's to our wives or our husbands. It's to those children that never stop talking and just shut your mouth and follow instructions. We love the fact that they're tenacious and they're inquisitive and they have full of life, but at some time, for the grace of God, just shut your mouth. And it's to those little people that we say the careless words, the hurtful remarks, the poison that comes out of our mouths. Can I just encourage you, as you're praying this third part of Jabez's prayer, do not be a source of pain or evil for someone else. Discipline your tongue and your words. Strive to be a builder up and not a destroyer with your words. It's easy to stand here in front of you and say this is what you should do, because the Lord knows I got my own struggles with my beautiful children and my wife. But as we pray this prayer in totality, but specifically this third part, understand we need protection from evil, but we also need to be disciplined not to promote evil and pain with our words. I want to make a transition of sorts from the third part of the prayer to more of an overall picture as we are finishing up this series and turning our attention next Sunday to our Christmas season. As we pray this prayer, and I pray that you have been and you will continue to pray, I ask this question to you. What if God really begins to listen to our prayers individually, but also corporately, And the blessing of God, which we understand in past weeks, the blessing of God is the favor of God. It doesn't mean that you're going to have a fat bank account or healthy, wealthy, and prosperity. I don't believe to that theology. But I do believe the blessing means that God's hand rests upon you and God is working through you to be a blessing to other people. What if God begins to bless us corporately? What if God begins to open wide the opportunities and our influence begins to increase and there are places for us to go and just begin to promote the name of Jesus? What if blessing and increased territory, what if the covering of protection from evil and pain, what if these things begin to happen? I insert a statement by Pastor Rick Warren, and then I'll answer the question on the other side. There is no growth without change. There is no change without loss, and there is no loss without pain. So we can put on our smiley faces and get really excited about what God is going to do through our church and you individually as we pray sincerely this prayer of Jabez. But the reality becomes, if these things come our way, it brings with us new and different and requires us to change. Baptists don't like rain, and Baptists equally don't like change. If you're not a Baptist, welcome to Pine Grove Baptist Church. You're in the right place. We need you to spur us forward. A church that wants to grow and to do things for their community, to see lives changed and coming up to the image of Jesus Christ, it requires us to do differently. It requires us to grow. You cannot grow without change. There is no change without loss. Loss always means pain. How do we navigate life in this church after God begins to bless, expand, and protect us? How does that look? And some of this might be kind of forward thinking, just preparing you and I. And I remind you that it's God's church, not my church. It may never get there. But if God does this, I want us to be prepared and ready to step in to the assignment that God is calling us to do. One more verse from the book of Proverbs just to tickle your fancy about this matter of preparation. Solomon writes, Proverbs 21, verse 31, New Living Translation, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." It's the Lord's victory, it's the Lord's direction, it's the Lord's activity, but you and I, the warrior, we are required and invited to prepare the horse, so when the commander-in-chief says, "Let's ride," your horse is ready to gallop and go. If you can't ride, how are you going to have a victory with the Lord? I step back. I calm down. But that has been an active part of my prayer life. God, it's all you. And I say that in humility, but I want to be all there with you when you get ready to go. Let's be prepared to do what you're calling us to do. Again, as we think about what may become in this church, in your life, about this prayer of Jabez of blessing and increased influence and protection, I want to encourage you with three remarks. Some of this are going to be hitting home to some, others it may not. You can tuck it back in your spiritual toolbox and go back when we need these tools. But forward thinking as we are preparing the horse for the day of battle, I encourage you with these remarks. Number one, remember, Pine Grove Baptist Church is God's church. I want to say that a few times because you're going to be like, yeah, I get that. But then there's something else. Pine Grove Baptist Church is God's church. You don't go to Pastor Jared's church. You don't go to your great-grandmother's church, though they bought the bricks in the red building behind us. Though they're laying in the dirt in the cemetery. You're not going to their church. It's God's church. It's God's church. I have the unique responsibility of being the under-shepherd. What Peter says, Jesus is the shepherd, I the pastor, and the under-shepherd, the spiritual responsibility to lead this flock, to protect this flock. That's my job. But we collectively, the body of Christ, this is our church leading and following after Jesus Christ. Pine Grove Baptist Church is God's church. Insert application. You look around the room, and conversations with others, and you say, man, look at all these new faces. I stand on the platform or I look around the room and there's so many faces I don't even recognize. And man, all these kids and babies, man, it's phenomenal to have all these young people in our church. And most of us are like, that's exciting. But there becomes another inflection point. When does the too much new, too much growth, too much activity of faces I don't know become a challenge to me and my established membership, and we begin having small conversations? What's happened to our church? I don't recognize our church. Where did they all go? Some of them went to heaven. But the natural flow is that the new mixes with the old and a new synergy happens as we're following Jesus, and it's a multi-generational church. Understand God's church. And yes, the established, and you can qualify yourself if that's your category, the more long-term membership, and those that are equally new and just joined our faith family, we are all together. This is our church. And as we pray the prayer of blessing and we pray the prayer of influence and we pray the prayer of protection, may we guard ourselves from trying to put a box around our territory and dare you not step into my territory. This is my section, my chair, my row, my Sunday school, my place of, it's ours. God's church belongs, Pine Grove Baptist Church belongs to God. Not you, not me, it's Jesus, but we choose to serve, to worship together at this place. Amen. Encouragements. Remember, God is in control, and this is God's church. Encouragement number two. As our church maybe begins to grow in experiencing these new opportunities, I challenge you to find community. To find community. What do you mean, Pastor, find community? Like a new place to live? No. Community in a biblical sense is just kind of some people that you're doing life with. While it is phenomenal that you're present, even on a rainy Thanksgiving weekend, this isn't enough to sustain you as you're walking and growing in Jesus Christ. You need people to do life with. And even if you're like, nah, I'm good, that's not healthy. That's not biblical. And if you say, I have my spouse as my person, I say, congratulations, you have found a blessing. But there are things in your life, men, that are specific to men that she will never understand because you're a man. I don't care what culture says, a woman won't understand a man, and a man won't understand a woman. Can I get an amen? So life on life happens when men get together and do some things and talk about the Word of God and the struggles, the vulnerabilities that are present equally to women. You have a place of community, a place that you're sharing your life with others. As iron sharpens iron, we grow together. You find your community. Let me just say this, because you're going to be jacked up on Jesus juice and looking for that group tomorrow morning. They're not there. Well, some of them are. That is an objective that we are moving into 2024 to bring more organization for the community aspect at our church. It is, some parts are there, and you can stop by guest service and explain what is available, but being more intentional as we move into 2024 to connect you, the body of Christ, to other people as you grow and do life together. But I want you to understand application, two parts. As the church grows, it becomes more and more challenging for one person to provide the pastoral care for all you folk. What do you mean, Pastor? You're going to get sick, and you're going to have surgery, or you're going to have a death in your family, and you're going to expect Pastor Jared to be there. And Pastor Jared, like in the third person, I want to be there, and I want to walk with you. But there may be some circumstances that I'm not going to be able to be there at every turn, because look around the room. There's a lot of us. So I don't want you to say, well, he just don't care about me. He just cares about all those new people. He forgets about all us older people. No, that's not true. But you find your pastoral care in your life group. Your people you're doing life should be your first option to say, pray with me, I'm having surgery. Pray with me, I am sick. Can you get together a meal train and help us? Because my husband can't cook and I can't get out of bed. Those are the people you turn to do life with, pastoral care. Just a suggestion. But I want to, before we go to the third point, one more application. I've been reading a book by Bob Goff. I think it's entitled Big Dreams. But he makes a statement about sea otters, and I don't know much about sea otters, but he asks the question in his book, do you know why sea otters hold hands when they're floating? And like, I Googled this. You can do it later. Don't do it right now, but after service. I Google, why do sea otters hold hands? And pictures comes up, and those little jokers are on their backs, and they're holding hands like they are in a relationship or something. I don't know. But Bob Goff wrote about it, and then Wikipedia told me, so it has to be true. So this is what I provide to you. Why do sea otters hold hands while they're floating? No. So they don't drift apart. When the waters become turbulent or activity happens around them, they are connected one to another by the holding of hands so they don't drift apart. Let me just insert some truth to you. Life is hard. And it don't take too many incidences to get you busy and distracted and pulled away from what are the things that are most important in your life. Your people, your life group, your community should be in a spiritual sense holding of the hands and keeping us on track, on path, walking towards the purposes of Jesus Christ. As our church grows, as we begin to live in the reality of increased blessing and influence and protection, understand Pine Grove Baptist Church belongs to God. Understand that you need community. And understand, number three, to obey God even when it's uncomfortable. I'm just wildly convinced that you're going to get invitations, opportunities, doors will be open for you to walk into places that you've never walked or done before. That's of God. As He is seeing you as an obedient vessel, He begins to pour into you so you can be a blessing to somebody else, and those things begin to come and come your way. You get to have the harsh and sobering decision, do I step forward by faith or do I say, nah, bro, catch me on the next one. I'm good where I am. See, there's that comfort zone. The change and the growth and the new and the excitement will always require you to step up and step out by faith to the invitation of God. And let me just tell you, before you even get there, it is going to be hard. Many times, it's not going to make rational sense using your earthly mind to decipher, to discern what's happening, but all you can say inside of my chest, there's this peace and this confidence that this is what God is calling me to do. I'm going to step up and step out and obey even when it seems ludicrous. And many of you aren't going to say amen. I respect that. But one more time, you cannot grow without change, and change is never comfortable. A lot of people want the church to grow as long as it doesn't make them uncomfortable. May that never be the statement about Pine Grove Baptist Church. Man, we want to reach lost people. We want to see the waters of baptism stir. We want to see people growing in their faith, active in community, serving their community. But don't require us to do differently of our activities. Don't stretch us beyond our comfort limits. We want it to grow, though. That's silly. That doesn't make any sense. That's not how God operates. You cannot grow without change, and change is never comfortable. So before, again, our job is to prepare the horse for the day of battle. It is God's job to bring the victory. As you are contemplating the preparation of your spiritual horse, whatever that looks like, you need to ask yourself, you and Jesus, you and the Holy Spirit, am I ready to step up and step out when this invitation comes? Because it doesn't happen when the doorbell rings. These things are happening long before the email comes, the phone call, the voicemail, whatever the preparation happens. I just speak over you and over us. May we not be limited. May we say not now because it makes us uncomfortable. May we lean in and embrace fully what God has for us as individuals and us as a church as we grow and minister well beyond our comfort zones. Amen. Encouragements as we prepare for what's ahead. It's God's church. Find community. Obey even when it's uncomfortable. I finish back with a reminder to you that Jabez is recorded in our Bibles. He is remembered in history, not for what he did, but what he prayed. The prayer of Jabez is the conversation we are having this morning. You learn to pray the same way you learn to drive or swim. You have to jump in and actually do the activity to learn. At some point, we have to move and begin doing with God. Prayer is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to finish one more time with the secret to Jabez, in my opinion, the secret to Jabez's success and the secret to your success as you walk with Jesus Christ and you begin to experience these opportunities, this favor, this protection, and it is abiding with Jesus Christ. What does that mean, Pastor? Abiding means to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture in closing to encourage you about this need to stay close and connected to Jesus Christ. Jesus is speaking in John chapter 15. How do I know Jesus is speaking? The text is in red in my Bible. If you abide, there's our word, in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We have read this text in closing on the three parts of this sermon for over a month now. We have been hearing the encouragement and the instruction to abide in Jesus Christ. You cannot abide in Jesus Christ apart from a daily activity where you are opening your Bibles and you're reading the Word of God and allowing the Spirit of God to challenge, to correct, and to change you as you're doing for God. So many Christians get sideways and hurtful and mean and caustic because they're giving and doing for Jesus, but they've lost the intimacy with Jesus. Their cup is now empty, and they're serving from an empty vessel because they're not filling it daily with the intimacy with Jesus Christ. This will be the secret sauce for your life, my life, the life of this church, how we stay connected and abiding in Jesus Christ in the good times and in the bad times, on the mountaintops and in the valley. The abiding doesn't change. The circumstances around you may, but we stay tethered and tied and anchored to Jesus Christ. If you are not doing any of these activities, may I encourage you this afternoon, tomorrow morning, start in the book of John, John chapter 1, and read 4 or 5 verses and just read them and sit still. It is going to be the hardest 15 seconds of your life. I joke, but not really. It is awkward. It is challenging to cultivate the discipline of reading and meditating and allowing the Spirit of God to speak to you. But boy, you're crazy. The Spirit of God is not going to speak to me. If you're a child of God, the Spirit of God lives within you, and He is begging you to slow down and listen to what He has to share for you. It happens as you abide in Jesus Christ. The discipline of opening and reading and meditating in prayer and walking in the instructions that you receive in that time. One more piece and I'll finish. It says that we will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. That seems like, man, Jesus has given me a blank sheet of paper, a blank check to write in whatever I want and He's going to do it for me. Don't be silly. That's not what that's saying. as you are abiding in Jesus, you're going to be asking Jesus from the direction of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual matters that are stirring within you, proclaiming and asking and directing. Those are the things that Jesus are going to say, yeah, I got your back. Let's walk together. Let's open this door. Let's see where this ministry goes. Those are the things. Not a new Porsche, not a hunting rifle, or whatever else you want to pick. Abiding in Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You could have gathered at our church this morning in the rain and post-Thanksgiving, and you didn't even know about Jesus. You came with a friend, family member, and God is knocking on your heart this morning and stating, hey, I want to be the Lord of your life. Will you invite me in? May I introduce you to my Father who loves you. I died for you. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and bow your head. We're going to have a time of response and invitation, speaking specifically to you that are in the room or even listening online. You know in your heart of hearts, you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You haven't trusted in Jesus for eternal life. I want to give you an opportunity before we dismiss to pray a prayer inviting Jesus into your life and beginning a relationship with God through Jesus. This prayer doesn't save you. It's the faith in the one you're believing and praying to. That is where the salvation comes. As our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, if it is your desire this morning to begin a relationship with God through Jesus, pray this prayer to yourself silently as I pray it aloud. Dear God, I admit I'm a sinner and I need your help. The best of my understanding, I believe Jesus died for me, and I am inviting Jesus into my life to forgive me of my sins. I am calling upon Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Through Jesus, I confess my relationship with you, God. I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me and help me to walk in obedience the rest of my days. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer right now, would you just lift your hand up? I want to pray over you before we dismiss. Right where you are, I see some hands. Praise God. You put those hands down. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. For the ones that have lifted their hand, Father God, you see, you know. In fact, the angels in heaven are standing and celebrating the fact that another lost person has come home and has found the salvation through Jesus Christ. Praise you, God, for these ones that have lifted their hands. It doesn't stop at this prayer. It's a beginning of baptism and community and serving and growing in their relationship with you, God, through Jesus Christ. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. For the remaining those remaining in the room that have a relationship, Father, I ask that you give them encouragement and direction for the things that you have revealed through your Holy Spirit in this sermon. The opportunities, the influence, the favor, the protection. God, what do you want us to do with these things as we serve you here at Pine Grove Baptist Church? Give us the strength to walk in obedience in the days to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray and say, amen.